I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This person sitting to my right is Danielle Ward.
Hello.
And this person sitting to her right is Marek Larwood.
Hello there.
How are we all doing?
Oh.
Buddy wants out as soon as we start, every single week.
For new listeners, Buddy is David and Danielle's dog. He is 1 and a bit years old. And he, what make of dog is he?
Mattel.
He's a Mattel dog.
He's a Cocker Spaniel.
Anyway, but he's not in any films. Would you, if someone said to you, we'll hire your dog for a film, would you let them do it?
Yeah.
Absolutely, that would be great. Well, it depends what the film was, I think.
No, yeah.
If it was like Tyrannosaur 2, where they want to kick him to death at the beginning of the film, I probably wouldn't say
what, if you had to do some saucy shots?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I watched an episode of Louis today that involved a dog being pleasured.
Really?
The dog died, yeah.
Oh. Is it a bit like bees then, really? Because if you touch a bee, if a bee stings, it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you pleasure a dog, it dies.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
That's an urban myth, isn't it?
It is an urban myth.
Anyway, this isn't about films.
No.
It's not about films.
Well, we were definitely up for seeing some films this week, and then there was nothing out other than rubbish.
Yeah, stuff we sort of resented paying to see.
Fast and Furious 6, I've not seen any of the franchise.
I wouldn't know what was going on.
I know that the sixth film in a franchise is usually not great.
As a rule, number a rule. Six is
What else have there been six films of? Police Academy?
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Friday 13th as well.
Harry Potters, but they've all got different names.
Land Before Time.
Carry On films.
Yeah.
But they don't have they don't have numbers.
There's no narrative arc, is it? In it?
James Bond.
How many X-Men films have there been?
Four.
Sort of. It depends if you count the spin-off Wolverine movie.
No, it isn't. There's X-Men First.
Yeah.
First Glance.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's more than four if you count the others.
Right.
If you count the soon-to-be two extra Wolverine films.
Is there going to be a Storm film?
I hope so. Oh, God, Halle Berry. Anyway, this is a bit meandering. You didn't want to go to the cinema this week either, did you, Merrick?
I've been to cinema every week for almost the last year now. So, to celebrate the new trend of what's happening, the Curzon are showing stuff, films, online as well as they are on the cinema.
Well, at the same time they get released?
Yeah.
Wow, and is it cheaper?
No, it's really expensive. It was £10, but £8.50 with a Curzon membership card. So I watched a film that was on the Curzon.
£10?
To watch it on your home computer?
Yeah.
That's preposterous.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to catch up.
Someone comes round and drops popcorn round the back of the seat.
Yeah.
And then in the toilet, someone's, you know, urinated all over everywhere.
Can you pause it, or does once it's started, you have to
to sit there, and then there's other people sort of munching and whispering and stuff.
But you're only watching it on a small screen, but you're still paying £10.
Yeah, well, I paid £8.50. It's very expensive. So I think this is what's going to happen, though. People are going to start seeing... I think people are going to start releasing films at the same time.
Oh, but if they were cheaper, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're not actually going to a cinema to see it.
No.
That is baffling.
Yeah, I don't get that. Although we did... This is as you rightly said, it is a kind of increasing trend, isn't it? I mean, we had Arrested Development released this week on Netflix.
Netflix!
Which was free.
It was, well, if you subscribe to Netflix, yeah, it's free.
Which I do.
But yeah, that wasn't more because you got to see it when it first came out.
And we talked last week, I think, the next Ben Wheatley film called, was it called Something in the Field? I got on it again.
A Field in England.
Go to a Field.
That's being released on at the same time over all mediums.
Wow. Well, that's the thing. Like, people go to the cinema not because they're desperate to see the film before anybody else, but because it's spectacle. Because they are.
It's an event.
That's why people still go and see classic films. Yeah, because it's an event. So I don't quite get the thinking behind.
Maybe if you've got a projector in your house, I think a lot of people have got bigger screens now. It's probably nicer.
Hmm. But you can't, you won't be able to live stream that sort of quality, not to have it massive, would you?
Yeah, probably. They're talking about doing 4K soon.
Okay.
How was the film you went to see? What film did you go and see?
I went to see Something in the Air, a film directed by Oliver Assayas. It's a French film.
Oh, you like them?
Yeah, well, I normally like them.
Was Kristen Scott Thomas in it?
She wasn't in it. She must have been ill.
That's your problem.
It was about the rite of passage of this, basically sort of semi-autobiographical, about a director in 1968 when he's a teenager and they're all anarchists and they're sort of rising up against the state and the workers, and they're all sort of reading Sartre and all these sort of left-wing... Yeah, all that sort of left-wing stuff. And they're all artists and they smoke constantly and they sort of go into Italy to meet other sort of revolutionary people. It was total shit. I hated it.
Really?
And I really like French films. The only thing I did like about it was the fact it was summer, and it hasn't been summer for so long in England, if you're listening abroad, that I've forgotten what it looks like, and I've forgotten that feel of wandering around in a t-shirt and shorts and people having parties outside.
Oh, yeah.
And that made me feel a bit, it captures the atmosphere really, really well. But it's, for me, it was everything I hate about the French. They might as well, they should have called this film, when I was a teenager, I was a total bellend. And then it may have been funny then. I was thinking it could make a really good comedy, but you know, if you made a film of your life as a teenager, it'd be really cringingly embarrassing, and that they all have got that sort of confidence, they believe, they've had no, they're all middle class, they don't have any worries at all, but they're all like revolutionaries as well and trying to overthrow a state, yet they're still existing within this thing and they've still got all the trendy clothes.
But that's always been true in actual history, hasn't it? I mean, the people who start the revolutions are always the middle class.
It was everything I hate about. It was just painting girls taking their tops off and French people with cigarettes painting them.
Did they achieve anything at the end of this summer?
No, it was just about sort of being a youthful person.
Oh, sounds worse than Spring Breakers.
Yeah, it was like the French equivalent of Spring Breakers without any guns, but just being, if you said, be as French as you can be, it was almost a joke, actually. It was almost comical. I read some reviews, and the film reviewers, like Philip French, who works from The Guardian, really likes it, which made me think you're a knob, because it was boring. It looked beautiful, but, and I like French films, and I'm mildly cultured, so it's not me just thinking, oh, this is me being a snob and not liking the French.
Yeah.
They had a scene where there's a. They're basically playing Nick Drake on his record, and he's painting pictures, and the pictures are scattered across his floor, and it's him smoking while he's painting. While he's painting with that in the background, you think, do you know what? Can you get any more French? That's right, buddy. Buddy's buying his toy cat in anger. That's what I wanted to do.
Le chat toy.
Don't go and watch it. Go and watch. He wants. Midstream, which you watched last week, both parts.
Can you get any money back for it being rubbish?
No.
No.
You could if it was at the cinema, though, couldn't you?
Do you stream it live?
See, here's the thing with streaming. Now, I'm quite interested in the quality of streaming, because a lot of televisions are standard definition, which is 720 by 580.
Mm.
And normally when you stream things as HD, so it's quite good, like 1080 by, what is it, 920 or something.
Mm.
I'm sure it was only standard definition. It wasn't even crisp quality.
For 850.
Yeah, really bad. But The Great Gatsby, something you have to... That was amazing. That was shot in because I'm interested, I'm a bit of a tech geek when it comes to cameras. That was shot in 4K or with red cameras. People use red or Alexas, and red has got really good definition.
Mm.
And that was the first film I've seen where it looked so crisp. I talked about that last week.
Did it move right? I mean, that's the thing I've always found.
It's only 3D that it acts
well. It's not that I mean. I mean, I've seen old films shot in cine that have been kind of graded up for HD releases, things like Blu-rays or whatever.
Yeah.
And it might be actually the screens I've seen them on, but they move like a home video.
Mm.
It doesn't look like a movie. It's not an artistic image. It's an accurate image. And so I've seen, for instance, I saw it in a, you know, just in a bar behind the bar on a big old widescreen that someone was showing Rambo, and it didn't look exciting. It didn't look, you know, it just looked like somebody was film. It was the behind the scenes footage of Sylvester Stallone running about. It's odd. It doesn't move right.
I think they do. I think that wasn't a problem with the.
It might be a retrofit in it thing then.
Yeah. So I give Something in the Air 2 Marics.
Oh, I am glad I did not see this film.
Yeah. Le film est très merde.
The Guardian really liked it, is that right?
It's been a weird week for films.
Byzantium's out, isn't it? I might go and see that.
Is it? It's not out yet, is it? Is it not out? Maybe it is out now.
I think it's out next week. I saw Gemma Arterton in the street today.
The Purge is out.
The Purge is out. Epic. That kid's
No, The Purge is
rubbish.
Out on Friday. That's what I meant to say. The Purge looks good.
Do you feel you don't know what the time is because the weather's all wrong?
Yeah, it has thrown me out of whack a bit. We seem to just have summer and winter simultaneously where it's muggy but rainy.
We'll have like one nice day and then everything else is a bit rubbish.
Everyone's getting depressed here.
Oh.
To all our listeners in Iraq, Iceland, Zambia,
yeah,
just making up places. We hope you have
Zambia
better,
exists.
We hope you have better
you
weather.
You didn't make that up.
I'm making up places where there possible listeners. Should we get to the middle section then?
I think we'd better.
Yeah.
Letters from our listeners. But before we get into letters, we should talk about the live Film Fandango event.
Yes, on June the 17th, we will be doing the first ever live Film Fandango in Camden, London, UK, where we will show films that we ourselves have made, or will soon have made.
Mine's quite short.
It's got to be, you're running out of time, as indeed are we all. I think Marek's been very conscientious.
I've been pestering Danielle and David about making their films on a weekly basis.
That's because you're doing loads of different shots, aren't you? Mine's
not
just
really.
All one take.
Oh.
Mine's like
Rope. It's going to be the new Rope.
Yeah, mine is as good as Rope.
There's three takes in Rope, isn't there?
Yeah,
I think so. They have you seen that Psychoville episode where they an homage to Rope, which is one take the entire episode.
No, I think I should watch that.
It's great. It's the best thing they did, I think.
It is really good.
Anyway, June the 17th, we'll be showing our own films. We'll all be there. And then in the second half, we're showing RoboCop on the big screen. So do come down. Tickets are available from our Facebook page or Google Film Fandango, The Forge and Foundry.
And it'll be a lovely night. And we'll all get to watch RoboCop and then we can have a chat afterwards.
It'll be good.
And Ed209 is going to come down there.
Is he? Have you managed to get in touch with him?
Yes, and he's going to kill three random punters.
I'm afraid we can't bring Buddy, though.
No, I'm afraid it's a classy place, so they don't allow dogs.
Great cheese board.
We could Skype him in, maybe.
Yeah. Well, let's put him in one of the films.
Why not?
Just drop coffee or derm off.
Oh, Marek.
Oh, Marek. That's where people get that impression of you.
You know, that one we've heard round and about.
What's that impression?
That you're always covered in, you know, fluid.
Yeah. Hot if it's fluid. Not coffee, it's...
one of the others.
Yeah.
We've had some letters from some lovely people, haven't we? You can have that one. And Marek, you can have that one.
Well, they're emails, I've printed out, so it doesn't make them letters, does it, really?
Okay, they're emails. Well, yeah. Do you want to go first, Marek?
Yes.
Danielle.
Robert Cullen in Ireland. Or to be sure, dear film fandangites, on your last show you mentioned that Tobey Maguire basically plays the same role in every film he stars. Oh, lucky! I think there are several actors in the same category. In my opinion, Owen Wilson, he is the dark-haired one.
No.
You always get the Wilson brothers wrong.
That's
it's infuriating.
Jackie Wilson.
That's Jackie Wilson.
Juliette Lewis and Jeff Goldblum are just hired to play themselves in movies. Would you care to add to that list? P.S. If you would like a film recommendation, if you've seen it before, watch The Natural with Robert Redford. It's on Netflix. We will do, Robert Cullen from Ireland.
From Ireland. Actors who are hired just to play themselves. I would argue that it's most actors. The exceptions to the rule are the interesting ones, right?
Yeah, we see that Philip Seymour Hoffman's plays quite different characters.
Often, but he's also got his off-the-peg Philip Seymour Hoffman that he'll do for less money. Daniel Day-Lewis is famous for actually not doing a Daniel Day-Lewis.
There's old adage in Hollywood that is variety kills careers.
Really?
Yeah.
Whose careers has it killed?
It's very much... The truth is, people do the thing that they do because they know they'll get hired to do it. And if you start doing lots of different things, people go, yeah, but what does this guy do? I mean, I saw him be this thing and a thing, and then he was something else. I mean, he's too... No, let's get Tobey Maguire in.
Like Tom Cruise, we talked about... I think I talked about that when I saw... watching my flip... What's it called? The new Tom Cruise film that was out.
Oblivion.
Yeah, it was too Tom Cruise-y. Denzel Washington always plays Denzel Washington. I've never seen him try and play a white guy.
No.
True, and those are the two roles.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Heath Ledger was playing different things.
Yeah, he was getting quite a lot of range.
I think Kate Winslet is pretty rangy.
She's quite rangy, actually.
She's quite rangy. I there was a Kate Winslet season on Film 4, and I watched a few of her films, and she was very good and very different in all of them.
Very different.
In one, she weed herself to turn on Harvey Keitel. In another, she played a Nazi.
In another one, she did not.
What's worse, when they're weasel themselves or a Nazi?
God, what to date them? Oh.
I mean, personally...
It's slim pickings, isn't it?
Yeah, to date them, you probably say, well, the if you're going to carry weighing on yourself, that's a no-go.
Do they continually wee on themselves, or can they sort of get it out of the way before they come meet me?
He liked it.
Okay.
Some people like that.
Well, she was weeing on him in a sexual thing, she was sitting on his lap.
No.
She saw a ghost.
He stood in front of her. She wees on her own leg.
What film is that?
Holy Smoke. It's good. It's a good film.
I think that's what I would say if I saw someone weeing down their leg.
Holy smoke!
Holy smoke! Someone get the Kleenex.
I started watching a Sean Bean film today, and then I got tired, so I put Blockbusters on.
what film?
I'll watch it later.
What film was it?
It's Silent Hill, but I thought if I fall asleep,
I
don't want
bother. To. Oh,
don't
bother. It's
really?
Not strong.
Well, Sean
it's based
Bean.
On a computer game. They rarely
the
work out
game
well.
Is really good.
Sean Bean plays an American man.
I really
man.
Enjoyed the computer game. He does play an American man, yes.
Well, is it not worth watching then?
It's not great. Hmm. But, I mean, has there been a computer game film that's actually good? Because... the Mario Brothers game isn't strong. Street Fighter is terrible. Resident Evil has been successful.
I quite enjoyed the first Resident Evil.
It's all right. Yeah, it's probably done the best out of them. I would have.
I'm looking forward to Frogger 64, the movie.
That's going to be amazing, isn't it?
Frog goes across a road.
I don't play computer games, so I don't know.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
No.
Well, thank you for your letter
and for your film suggestion. Get that, guys. That is The Natural next week, and so if you've seen it or you want to watch it before we record, then get in touch and tell
get
us
in touch. Have you got a email there, Matt?
Yes, I've got one from Ewan. Hello, Ewan. Here's your email. Dear Daniel, Marek, David and Buddy. This is Scottish. As someone who works in the evenings and gets that little chance to watch films, I'm always behind on what's worth watching, and thus your podcast is invaluable. It does, however, make recommending something to watch very difficult. However, the other week I saw A Royal Affair, and as you've never mentioned it, I thought there was a chance none of you had seen it, and I'd suggest it is a possible film to add to your list. I was taken, very taken with it, though as a foreign language film about Danish history, it was hard to sell to my friends.
Is he from Yorkshire?
I don't know where he's from. Also, as a listener from Edinburgh, I'm not able to come to film to Fandango live.
Aww.
But I'm intrigued by what films the three of you will make. Will they be put online?
They'll be put online eventually.
Also, last bit. I'm a fan of the podcast. And if the price of a t-shirt hoodie is all I need to contribute, then it's well worth it, Ewan. Yes, so if you want to buy, you want to support us, buy a t-shirt from Redbubble. Go to Redbubble and trip Phil Fandango in and buy a t-shirt. Because this is an independent podcast.
No one gives us money. Oh, is Ewan from Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Maybe he'd like to come and see a live recording of my other Sony Award-winning podcast at the Edinburgh Festival, Do the Right Thing.
What date's that?
That is on the 18th, 19th, 20th and 21st of August at the Pleasance.
There's four dates for that then.
Yeah.
Ewan, I have seen A Royal Affair. It's got Mads Mikkelsen playing the lead in it.
He's very good.
TV's Hannibal Lecter.
Which is, I don't like the TV's
I've
Hannibal.
I've not seen it.
But
Brett Anderson.
Yes. He's Mads Mikkelsen, who was also in The Hunt, another very good film.
Casino Royale.
Yes, Bond villain in Casino Royale.
Whoever Wants to Kill Himself, terrible film.
A Royal Affair is a brilliant film. Very, very good.
I will
I recommend it watching it.
I have an email here from Christopher Webb.
Hey!
What accent have we decided Christopher Webb has?
He lives in Australia, but he's Welsh.
Can you do a spider's accent?
I'll do it Welsh, I think.
I want you to do a Kenyan accent.
You should do Welsh, because about Ireland, Scotland and now Wales.
Right!
Okay.
Kia ora! Very excited to hear you're watching 24-hour Party People this week, as it's one of my 10 out of 10 films. However, this might be because I love the music beforehand, and was the right age when the whole Madchester thing kicked off. I was an 18-year-old fresher in 1989, so I may have been slightly biased. So it'll be interesting to hear views of people who either aren't into the music or weren't the right age to realise just how much fun it all was. I rewatched it last night and still love it. Great performances all round, and lovely to see a slightly chubby Dave Gorman. Although, slightly distracting, throughout was the fact that Coogan, from Act 2 onwards, with the short parted hair, looked not unlike Mr. David Reed.
I get that a lot. Have we mentioned that before? I get that a lot.
Can't wait to hear what you thought of it. P.S. Danielle, a friend of mine just came back from New York, was thrilled by when a local referred to him as a Deutbag, a phrase which will hopefully come in handy on your forthcoming trip.
Will?
Deutbag.
First of all, I'd like to point out that if you think Dave Gorman is chubby in 24-hour Party People, he looks like Jabba the Hutt now. No, he's quite skinny in that film.
I think he is, yeah.
I mean,
he plays the postman, Mary.
He's not big, nice.
Who screams Louie Louie into the mic all the time.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Shall we talk about 24-Hour Party People?
Well, we need to do the challenge first, but we did watch 24-Hour Party People this week. We finally got round to it, so thank you for that, Christopher Webb. We will be talking about it. And yes, I do occasionally, in some lights, look like Steve Coogan.
I don't think you do at all.
I don't think you do at all.
Well, I get it a lot. Clearly, there's something going on.
I get Liza Minnelli.
I get anyone who's bald.
Anyone.
Anyone, Matt Lucas, that darts player, and that bloke from
Stavros Blofeld,
and the bloke from Something About Mary, even though he's 25 years older than me. Thank you.
Challenge.
Well, we have set ourselves a challenge this week. It's based on one we were sent in, isn't it, Danielle?
Yes. I'll just find out who it was sent in by. You tell them what the challenge is.
We are going to cast a live-action version of Winnie the Pooh, this one has Winnie the Pooh, Tigger and Eeyore in it. So it's Marek and Mai's turn this week. Danielle, you will be judging.
Yep.
And John, financing
John
this
Williams.
Film.
John Williams.
The John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to go for first?
I think we work up to Pooh.
That's what I always do.
Me too. So should we start with Tigger.
Okay, do you want me to go first?
By all means.
Someone very excitable and lively. and likeable.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult, but I'm going to go for Will Smith.
Oh, interesting. I see what you're saying. I think he's becoming less likeable with this whole bringing his son to everything.
That's not actually his son.
Is it not?
He's a clone. His Will Smith's son, what's his name? Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith.
He's a clone of Will Smith, but they haven't got enough personality in him.
It grows as the clone grows.
Yeah.
Because they can't clone the soul. That's why.
I like it. What have you got, Reed?
Well, as Marek said, somebody sort of energetic and positive without being annoying, I've gone for Jack McBriar, who plays Kenneth Parcell in 30 Rock.
Oh, so
he's also Fix-It Felix in Wreck-It Ralph, which you haven't seen.
No. Oh, interesting. I don't know him.
That is.
Do you watch 30 Rock?
No, I don't watch it. It's supposed to be quite good, isn't it?
It's really good. Yeah. It's finished now.
I think Tigger needs to be... I mean, I've only ever seen Jack McBriar play very thick characters.
Well, and Tigger isn't, you know, an academic, is he?
What?
He's not stupid, though. He's more friendly.
Well, he's like a bouncy Fonz.
He's more sort of Will Smith, Fresh Prince-like.
I think he's more Jack McBriar, sort of Kenneth Parcelli, kind of... The wonderful thing about Tigger is that Tigger's a wonderful thing! He's like the Scarecrow on Crystal Meth. Yeah?
The Scarecrow's really clever. That's the whole point. He had a brain all along.
It's not that bright,
he's
though.
He's more
is
like
it?
The lion from
yeah,
Wizard
he is
of Oz.
More.
Oh,
like
you're
the
right.
Lion.
He is like the lion.
Pour-de-moi.
In fact, that's exactly who he is in the Disney version of.
Pretty much.
They've just stolen the lion, haven't they?
Fatter.
Let's recast The Wizard of Oz another week.
Okay. Well, that's a
Will
good idea.
Smith has won.
Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fine. Okay. Eeyore.
Eeyore.
Do you want to go first?
Me first. Continuing in my tradition this week of casting funny television names,
mm-hmm.
I have gone for grumpy old adorable stick in the mud, Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreations, who plays Ron Swanson.
I don't watch these.
Oh, that is good. He's a good Eeyore.
He's a good Eeyore, isn't
he? Good Eeyore.
I don't even know who he is.
Well, he's just the best Eeyore, if you imagine.
Surely we should be casting film stars as the world.
No, these guys are all in films now.
They're all in
what
films
are he in?
Off the top of my head, I don't know, but I saw a trailer with him in this week.
Who am I going for?
Yeah.
Who plays that downtrodden, sort of depressed person with the hooded eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves.
William H. Macy.
Oh, also very good.
Very good Eeyore.
He is a very good Eeyore.
And it would be a good role for him to do as well, I think. It would really help him
at the moment, yeah. Wouldn't he? He's in a bit of the doldrums.
He needs that.
Nick Offerman's got the stature for Eeyore, though.
You've
He's broader
shoulders. You've got to think of the box office.
I think,
do you want a ticket to go and see Nick Offerman? I don't even know who he is, mate.
I think William H. Macy is really nails the melancholy in a way that perhaps...
Oh,
Ron Swanson
rubbish.
Misses.
His name's not Ron Swanson.
His name's
Nick Offerman.
I'm gonna give it to you, David.
Yeah.
To make things interesting.
Okay.
What? You're joking.
It's all
what
down
do you
to
mean
the poo.
Joking? You've never seen him.
It's all down to the poo.
Oh, it always comes down
I
to
really
the poo.
I really thought
with
William
us.
H. Macy would have won that easily. It's
William
a really good choice.
William H. Macy's a very good choice, but Ron Swanson is also
Nick Offerman. Okay. It's down to a challenge of the poos.
I'm going for someone dead.
Show me your poo.
Who's your poo is dead?
I'm
yeah.
A stinky poo.
Yeah, John Candy.
He's a good poo.
Oh, he is a
he's
good
poo. He's
a good
poo. I mean, poo, for people who don't know, he's got to be sort of... He's adorable, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
chubby,
John
adorable,
Candy.
A little simple.
He's John Candy.
Okay. I've gone for someone who is alive.
Oh.
I bet it's Jack Black.
No, I'm. He's sort of
is he from the
adorable,
American
and he is. He is from a current American TV show.
You've got to pick
film.
We've got
this.
To make it film stars.
He's been in stuff. He's been in films. Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. is the perfect poo. He's
yeah.
very handy.
He's not. I reject. I object to the choices being TV people, primarily TV people.
They're actors. The choices
should be
problem?
They should be film star people.
Oh, so next time you're offered a film, you're going to go, no, I'm just a TV actor.
Well, no, next time I can't put myself forward for these things, challenges.
Because you've been in a film?
Yeah, but I have to be a regular and like I've done a few films.
How many films have you done?
One.
That's not cool, Marek.
All these guys are getting roles in films. What it's do you not think? My fault you haven't seen them.
What do you think, listeners?
Lucy K, because contrary to, because him in Parks and Rec, his character in that is the most adorable
thing. He's wonderful.
Yeah, so David wins.
Yes.
Because he watches the same TV program. It's close. If I think it should be, like, personally, if we could do a tie, I would give you a tie, because I think William H. made you.
Well, this is bullshit.
Do we want to pick a sudden death piglet?
Go on then, let's do sudden death piglet.
A piglet? You have to pick first, though.
Do I?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to piss Marek off and pick someone from TV.
Amy Poehler.
I was going to pick Amy Poehler.
You don't even know who they are. You can't pick these people.
Okay, fine.
Amy Poehler's been in films.
You should just do a podcast about television series, not about films.
Amy Poehler's in Hamlet 2.
Amy Poehler's in Maybe Baby.
Amy Poehler's in
Baby Mama.
Baby Mama.
Blades of Glory.
She's in Blades of Glory.
That's who you're picking?
Yeah.
Piglet, I'm picking Pee Wee Herman.
Noted sex pest, Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. Pee Wee Herman. Imagine him with that red top on, little red strappy top on the pink legs.
I'm sorry, Marek, but you don't win this challenge.
I think this is bullshit. Should be strictly film. Listeners.
They've been in film.
I want you to get on my side and actively complain on our Facebook page.
I am finding exactly what they've been in.
The challenge is over.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're wrong, and you're carrying it on until I try to prove you wrong. That's pathetic, I think, frankly. I'm just checking Louis C.K.'s been in films.
I'm sure he has.
Yeah, he's in Down to Earth.
Yeah.
He's in Pootie Tang. Whatever that is. He's in three films coming out next year.
Yeah.
He's in The Invention of Lying. He's in Role Models.
I feel like a wife whose husband's continually sort of late at home from work and he's got loads of bad excuses which are just about plausible.
What?
And he's really convinced.
This film actor is in films is a bad excuse for how they're
you're
a film actor.
You're primarily, you're saying Parks and Recreation, and you're just quoting TV series. I didn't get to watch these TV series because I'm out bloody in the cinema watching films.
No, you weren't. You were at home.
It was the first time. That's the first time. But it was a film that was on at the cinema at the same time. I'm furious.
I bet Nick Offerman was in it. You just wouldn't know it.
What?
Let's talk about this bloody last film.
Yeah, 24 Hour Pipe People.
Okay. Well, it's taken us 2 weeks to watch it, but we finally found it.
What's it about?
24 Hour Party People. It's Danielle, do you want to go at this?
Biopic of Tony Wilson, the excellent founder of Factory Records. And the bands that he signed or didn't sign, mainly Joy Division and Happy Mondays. The film's in sort of two sections. It's got the Joy Division bit, early days, and then it's got the Happy Mondays, Hacienda sort of section. And
it stars Steve Coogan in that role.
Excuse me.
And is directed by Michael Winterbottom, who we talked about recently in relation to The Look
and
of Love.
It's an amazing cast. It's Paddy Considine and John Sim. It's like the who's who of British indie film actors, even though John Sim's in The Village.
So it's pretty much it's about Manchester, really, in the early in this sort of 80s, early 90s.
Sort of the birth of dance music, really.
It charts the whole thing.
Of ecstasy culture.
It charts
really.
From the Sex Pistols playing the little tiny club, if you know anything about Sex Pistols history, where 40 people were, and in the audience, famously so, were Mick Hucknall and people like that, through to sort of the death of the Manchester scene when the Hacienda closed down. And just before, I mean, obviously Tony Wilson didn't sign Oasis, Alan McGee did, and that's sort of when that moved.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's...
So Manchester stayed kind of at the forefront of it all, and then...
Very much so, but Oasis sort of moved, because they brought it all down to London. Oasis were the last big Manchester band.
For people who don't know, or listeners abroad, the Hacienda was like the big epicentre of music, the nightclub in Manchester, which Tony Wilson's Factory Records ran.
Yeah.
And they took all the money.
Massive loss.
And they took all the money. That's why New Order, the band, never made any money, because that was paying for the Hacienda.
Yeah. It's a fascinating bit, actually, where it just goes through the economics of it and says the Hacienda is losing money hand over fist because the entire atmosphere of the place, the entire popularity of the place, is fueled by ecstasy, not drink. So they can't, they're not getting any money for people having a good time. So they just pay to get in the door and that's it, basically. Yeah. All the drug dealers are taking the rest. It's sort of fascinating.
And I mean, I don't know about you, because I know quite a lot about Factory Records, and I know, like, I was a big Joy Division and New Order fan when I was younger, and I like the Happy Mondays. I wasn't like kind of, it's a tiny bit before my time. I'm sort of like Britpop era. That was my music of my youth. But being a music fan, I obviously had the back catalogue of all these things. And it's quite fascinating. I think it's, I mean, I've not seen Control, the Ian Curtis story. And it's, I think, because it's just sad stories. I mean, like the, you know, Ian Curtis killing himself.
Control, so. I've seen the first half of it and my DVD was scratched.
Oh, was it good?
Amazing.
Really?
And on our Facebook page, I recorded it and it was on Film 4.
Oh.
It's phenomenal. I think maybe, it was amazing, but I've never got around to watching the second half of it.
I mean, the guy who plays Ian Curtis is brilliant. And
yes,
the guy
his
who
name
plays...
is Sean Harris, who pops up in Prometheus as with a sort of bulked up with a Mohican.
Of course, yes, yeah. He's brilliant in this.
And also, the Sean Ryder is amazing. Like, you think it's Sean Ryder. The guy who plays Sean Ryder is absolutely brilliant.
I think good. So. This what I liked about it, I think the way they... It feels really fresh, this film, because although Steve Coogan, who plays what's his name,
Tony Wilson,
is the lead, and he does feel a bit Partridge in places.
Oh, it's so Partridge.
He does. It's really they mix live footage with the film of old stock footage of Sex Pistols playing with the actual film. There's bits. There's sort of monologues and asides to the camera, which are really
it's
great.
It's a really brilliant bit of film.
It's really interesting and
it's
fresh,
really,
and it feels
really interesting
and well. Exciting to watch.
Yeah, no, it is properly good. Andy Serkis, we've not mentioned, who's great in it, I think,
is
the
is
producer. Martin Hannett.
Martin, yeah.
Yeah.
The
super producer.
Yeah. Rob Brydon.
They're all in it. All the sort of Brit comedians are in it.
Off and the telly are in it, yeah.
There are loads of cameos from actual people around the music scene. And even during the film, they stop and explain what it's quite self-referential as well. They explain who is... appeared in the film, so it comes out of the actual narrative, just constantly messing around with the form, which I thought was really...
It's really lovely. There was a bit where the bit with Howard Devoto, just before it said, "This is the real Howard Devoto," I said to Dave, "That's the real Howard Devoto," but I've seen the Buzzcocks about 7 times for some reason. They're very good. Ow!
The Happy Mondays absolutely slammed in this film.
Yeah.
They come across
what a waste of space they are.
There's no redeeming features at all.
Just complete hedonist.
Well, that's why it's really interesting to see, like, the Joy Division New Order versus the Happy Mondays, where you've got, like, little Bernard Sumner being all sensible, and then you've got... And, you know, this is what... It's a shame. New Order are what paid for the Hacienda, and the Happy Mondays just spent all of Factory Records' money.
Well, yeah, New Order basically paid for the Happy Mondays to exist.
Yeah.
And just... Total tragedy if they lost their lead singer and then tried to carry on. And just, well, they did carry on very successfully.
They were a lot more successful,
but, yeah.
Because they lost all that miserable guff. The first Joy Division's albums are very, very bleak. One of the things that I really love, there's a bit where Tony Wilson says that he can't sell Factory Records because he doesn't own New Order and the Happy Mondays because they know how to sign a contract. And it's actually a really lovely, like, because first of all, you think, why would anybody do a biopic of Tony Wilson? You know, he's quite an influential figure, but he's not the lead singer of one of these bands or anything. And, you know, he only had, Factory Records weren't absolutely huge. They only had a couple of signings. And it's because he was one of the last true gentlemen of the pop industry.
Well, he's a gentleman amateur almost. It's almost Victorian because he's got a job.
Yeah, he kept his job
and
as a journalist.
That's fascinating, the way they juxtapose those two things of him being a sort of fluff piece TV journalist going to zoos and talking about the elephants. And he's almost a Richard Madeley figure. You said he was quite like...
But the fact that he says, you know, he can't sell... He's never given himself the opportunity to sell out. It's just such, he's such a brilliant character.
It's a really great... It's a really inventive film. And you can see Michael Winterbottom's... The style affecting his other films.
Yes.
I don't think maybe they haven't been as good as this. I think this was the...
Well, Nine Songs, which is fair, I think I've mentioned before, which cuts footage with people having actual sex. It's really boring.
The Look of Love is...
Gruy having sex, isn't it?
With who?
Gruy, the actor who played Gruy. Do you remember Gruy? the 80 television...
Really? Is it Gruy? That's Gruy,
yeah. Gruy was an 80 television programme. Which David is too young for.
Hey, I'm too young for as well.
But also, this film was a bit like... I went to review Good Vibrations about... Sorry, which was about Terry Hooley in Northern Ireland, about how he... a similar sort of film, but not as good as 24 Hour Party People. And I hadn't seen 24 Hour Party People before, and I thought, oh, this really influenced Good Vibrations.
Yeah.
But really similar, sort of following, you know, sort of the manager of the band. It was great. I thought it was really great performances from Steve Coogan.
I don't think... What I like about this film as well is as a sort of pseudo-documentary on it, you know, it's a docudrama but about real people, I don't think it overblows the importance of what they were doing by having it being delivered by the guy who is self-important and at the centre of it all.
Yeah.
You know, you believe he believes it, and that humanises it, actually. It brings it down to earth. It's not kind of... glorifying everything they did as being the most important thing that ever happened.
That's the lovely bit when Coogan turns to camera and says, I'm a bit part player in my own biopic, in my own story, which is lovely. Go on, makes me wish I've met Tony Wilson now.
You can't meet him because he's dead. Sorry.
Don't say that. One day.
Spoilers! He doesn't die in the film, don't worry. But really, just really brilliantly and really energetic, and it makes you want to go out and watch bands again and do stuff like that.
It made me actually doing Curtis impressions.
Dancing, singing, what's the one? She's Lost Control.
Love Will Tear Us Apart.
No, I think the Control, the one who goes dance to the radio, that one.
That's Transmission.
Transmission. I was singing Transmission and dancing like Ian Curtis around.
Dance,
it's really good fun.
Dance to the radio.
And actually quite uplifting.
Really?
Yeah. If you pretend to be in dancing his sort of specific, because he had epilepsy, dancing in a specific way and sing Transmission and dance around your flat, it's the opposite to listening to Joy Division.
I think his performance in this particularly, is he called Sean Harris?
Yeah.
He's particularly just sort of hypnotic. But I think everyone, the performances are great. Like, it's got that rare thing of all of the little bit parts you really like as characters. There's just something about it where it seems like really good people coming together.
Apart from Peter Kay.
Yeah, well, I don't know, he's playing a...
I found the bit with Peter Kay in the van a bit gross. I'll be honest, I didn't like that bit.
Is it because it's possibly happened sometime?
I didn't like that bit. And also, Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan have got such a wonderful chemistry.
They're great.
Rob Brydon's not really in the film very much. He plays a journalist, but the couple of scenes they have together are really funny.
Have you seen? We've mentioned The Trip before, but have you seen A Cock and Bull Story?
No,
where they play themselves as actors, and
that's Michael Winterbottom as well, isn't it?
It's that's again really inventive, actually.
Isn't that a Will Self book?
No, it's he might have called something that as well, but it's based on the first ever postmodern novel it's Tristram Shandy. What's it called? But it's about a man who's trying to tell his life story and to give you enough backstory to how he came to be, he keeps having to go backwards and retell other bits and bits around all of it, and he never gets round to even his birth, I think is the idea, if I remember rightly. But they do it in a very postmodern way, and it's a very interesting film. It's good. It's funny as well.
Sometimes find with these, like, music biopics, you know, the fictional, well, not the fictional, but, you know, the telling of these stories, sometimes the films can be really overpowered by the music. But I think that the good thing about this is that doesn't happen, because the music's good, but, you know, it's not like watching Backbeat where you're going, I'll just...
They have to play the songs constantly to...
I thought it was... It's funny you say that. I thought the exact opposite was done in the documentary Searching for Sugar Man, where if you don't know the music already, it's a very odd thing to cut from a talking head going, it was the most important music I'd ever heard. I mean, it was incredible. I've never heard anything like it. And then just playing four bars of a song that just... It won't hit you with that impact and it'll only end up seeming like they're wrong. Well, yeah. But they don't do that in 24 Hour Party People. They don't cut from kind of Steve Coogan to kind of one of the songs and just let you listen to it for a while.
Yeah.
Because that will just fall flat, inevitably.
It's a really, really good film. Whoever suggested that, well done.
Yeah, it was Oliver Ashman, the Ashman.
Hi, Ashman. The Ashman.
Well done, Ashman. Good lad.
We liked it.
Well, how many Marek's and Danielle's does it get?
I feel quite stingy, but I'm going to give it 8.
Okay.
I feel quite stingy, but 8 is where it sits with me as well.
I do think the last... I think films can only get up to 8, and the last 2 is purely subjective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd give it 8 or 9, I think. I really, really liked it.
Well done, Michael Winterbottom. Well done, Oliver Ashman, for suggesting it. Well done, but not well done for Love Film for the delay.
No.
That's right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. All of these film services are sort of failing us this week,
aren't
they?
Rock the luck.
Well, that's it, really.
That's it. If you'd like to get in touch with us before next week's podcast, then please do email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or write on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/filmfandango, or tweet us.
Not a real wall.
At filmfandango.
Oh, and are you in answer to your question? I was going to plug myself. I made my website this week, or last week.
You made a website?
Yeah, I learned how to make a website. Because my agent wasn't forwarding on any details. So if you want to see some of the films I've made which are terrible, you can go to MarekLarwood.com. And there's a link to my YouTube channel. And if you click on the adverts, I get money to make more films. So do that if you want me to make films. I've got to make some money somehow, right?
Yeah, you've got to make
totally,
money somehow,
one day.
Yeah.
All right. And we'll be back next week with more films. And we will have watched The Natural.
I forgot to thank... Sorry, another thing I missed.
Yeah.
On our Facebook page, there was someone from The Wire who none of us have watched.
Of course.
None of us have watched The Wire, but it was great.
Saying to listen to Film Fandango. Thank you to our friend of the show, Paul Allen, for filming him when he went to Cannes. So thank you very much for doing that.
Very exciting.
Really nice of you.
I do have season 1 of The Wire on DVD, so I will one day understand who that person is.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that day. I love
obviously,
TV actors.
We'll never see him in a film.
No, never. Never. It's one or the other.
All right. Just finish it.
One or the
just
other.
Just finish it.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.